the Duke Machado Show. Call in to speak to host Duke Machado. We don't know what's around the corner, so you gotta be ready. We gotta get fired up. And start talking about the issues.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And these two. Yes, sir. Not both. My name is Duke Machado. Thursday night, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, and I am excited to be here. It's my last night on live Blog Talk Radio. I will be running some syndicated spots, I think. Yeah, we might continue. But I have recently made arrangements to join the team at War Radio. That's We Are American Radio. They are hosted on live360.com, and there's other services, and I'll be getting a lot more information out to you, but I'm really excited to join Wayne Dupree and his team of ninja voices out there doing activism and doing things and talking about important media events that really the people need to hear about. We are an alternate voice to the mainstream media. So I'm really excited to join him, Andrew Chavarria, who helped kind of orchestrate that. And so really excited to be joining their team next week, Mondays, 8 Central, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Going to be excited to bring our program to a little broader audience, actually quite a bit broader. So excited to do that. And that's next Monday. But tonight, I know I titled this Racism, Removing the Blinders Placed by Democrats. And I realize I've got people who are Democrat listeners who tune in and try to find things that I say that I might slip up so they can get me later on Facebook or whatever the case is. But, you know, really, this is an issue that I've done a lot of soul searching on. And basically, we live in a time when deceivers are in control. People who have deceitful hearts and bad intentions are doing things to us through the power of the government and through the power of their organizations to hinder us and to keep us silent. They have put blinders on the community and kept the community. I'm talking about the black, the Hispanic communities, minorities, people who are usually downtrodden. These people are usually living in the projects and have been for generations. These are individuals who maybe are down and out and have been down and out for a long time. And they're walking around with blinders on. They've given up hope. They've given up on the country, and they've basically dissented. Now, I'm not talking about the healthy ones, the ones who can, or I'm not talking about the ones who truly need assistance or are in a situation in their lives where they need help. I'm not opposed to a safety net. But I am opposed to generational poverty, and a poverty that I believe has been put in place, kept in place by people in control and people in the Democrat Party. Now, I'm a Republican. I'm a proud Republican. I'm glad to state my opinions as a Republican. I'm not all Republicans, and I know that within my ranks, that there's division. But I was on the phone today with our state chairman here in Texas, of the Republican Party of Texas. We were talking about the Hispanic initiatives and what we needed to do to attract people who were conservative, had the values of the conservative party that we are. You know, they believe in Jesus Christ. They believe in, you know, the values that we, the family, the business entrepreneurship, you know, people who want to achieve in life and work for something. And so those people, we want to reach those people in our party needs to embrace those people who right now are lingering in the Democrat Party. But they know that things just aren't right. They know that that party does not feel the same way that they do about certain issues like life, gun rights, gay rights. I mean, there's, you name it. The Democrat Party does not align itself with the traditional Hispanic values. But for some reason, it has been able to control and dominate the Hispanic vote. And in the black community, I mean, you don't have to be a scholar. You don't have to go to Harvard to see that racism exists. It exists on both sides. It exists within all communities. And it's not just racism. It's prejudice. We have been conditioned to not judge people. Our biblical background tells us that we should not judge others unless we want to be judged ourselves. And there's only one true judge. And ultimately, we all have to answer to that judge. But when a person lives their life in a way that causes problems, when a person is robbing people, stealing, breaking and entering into homes, carjacking, other crimes, just point blank robbery at convenience stores, banks, all this crime, I know the media is putting a lot of emphasis on it, but, you know, it seems to be boiling over. This is racism at the root, in my opinion, because these people are so frustrated. But, you know, it's racism to them. It has become racism, but it didn't have to be racism. Because there was a time, and there maybe still is hope, but there has to be massive change. But there was a time when they could have removed those blinders and pulled themselves up and advanced themselves and their families and for future generations. And, you know, a lot of people do, but not enough. And we see poverty right here in Waco, Texas. You can go to San Antonio. You can go to Houston, Austin, Dallas, Fort Worth, every city in one of these major cities in Texas has got a large population of homeless and hungry people, transients, people that live in the streets, people that are roaming around looking for free food and things to feed their dog. All of these conditions, and you look at a lot of the money that goes out through the federal government into the states, and a lot of the states that are receiving big portions of the money are states that have high poverty, high welfare enrollments. And these welfare numbers continue to rise. Now, I'm in the car business. I've been in the car business for 20 years. And I don't know what it is, but it seems to me today there are more people on SSI than I can remember in past years. I know that a few of these people truly have disabilities and have issues, but I know that a lot of them don't. I know they don't. I know there's fraud. I know there's a system that's put in place to get people paid. It's that Obama money, the promises that the government makes through the Democrat Party, through Democrat officials and candidates and elected people that say, we're going to give you this in return for a vote. And you're going to turn out, you're going to vote for us, and we're going to give you things. And to me, those are placing blinders. Those are actually making the blinders even bigger, giving you a narrower view on life. And after years and years and decades of continual propaganda, you totally lose hope. The frustration sets in. You can't get a job. You've got tattoos all over yourself. Car's not running. It's broke down. Can't get to work. Can't borrow a ride. So you got to do something. And this here is the issue that we're facing. These people are getting bolder and bolder. Their designs to get money. They're gonna rob more people. They're going to, you know, we had an incident here in Waco. Really, it hasn't been touched on as a racism issue, and I really don't think it is. It's definitely an issue of crime and crime element. The types of people who are around us, the undocumented immigrants who are here living down the road in our neighborhoods, a lot of them, yeah, a lot of them are good people. I know some. I know they've got great hearts, and they're not going to hurt a soul. To me, those people deserve a chance. They deserve an opportunity to find a way to stay, to legalize. And I've said that before. I don't think they need to be granted citizenship immediately, of course, but maybe 15, 20 years down the road, they could attain citizenship. Because, you know, that's what it all boils down to. What are we going to do with our lives? Who are we as Americans? Who are we as Texans? Are we people who were born into poverty and destined to live in poverty all of our lives? Or are we the kind that's going to break the mold and do what it takes to get out? Are we going to reject the things that take us down the wrong path and accept the things that may be harder but actually advance us, advance our families? You know, we talk about racism again. We talk about, I call them race pimps. Other people call them different things. But I'm talking about people like Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, people who show up anytime there's a black crisis. These people literally take Obama's message literally, or maybe it was Rahm Emanuel, who one of those guys talked about capitalizing on crisis. Never missed a wasted opportunity, and they show up. They want to be the voice. They want to raise their hand up and shout down the white man, to shout down the man and say, you've got to stop. We know that they've twice now been wrong. They've had no reason, no justified reason to riot. Not in Baltimore, not for Michael Brown. But they did it anyway. And they did it both times knowing that there were news crews around, knowing that this was a highly televised and publicized event. They wanted to riot. Now, Isn't it funny, though, you look at some of that footage, and you see some of the people that are in the crowds, and they're holding signs. Where did they get those signs? Who had those signs made up, and how did they get there so quickly? You know, were they made in advance and prepared for something as a way to spark riots? I think so. And I don't know. I can't prove it. But in the past, it's always been outside forces. It's always been elements from outside our country that try to get us going and get us fighting against each other. They incite these riots. And they keep the blinders on, the black and the Hispanic communities. And unless a person's willing to shed those blinders, they're going to walk lockstep and follow the party mantra. You're not going to be able to shake them. They're bought in 100% into the propaganda. But there's some who are lingering. Those of you who have families, those of you who have jobs, those who have started your business, who want to protect your investments, protect your earnings, protect anything that you have set up for your family. That's the beauty of what this country is. You get to go out and produce. And if you're good at doing it, you're going to succeed. And if you succeed, your family succeeds and you advance. That's what the American dream is all about. But for some reason, people forget that. The propaganda is so strong through music, through the music industry, through all the hip-hop music, the gutter music, keeps them down, people walking around, hat sideways, pants sagging, tattooed all over their face and their arms. You know, the society cannot accept that, and we have. And it's our fault, and we bring it upon ourselves, and sometimes it's our job to cleanse our own problems, clean our own house. And sometimes it's just a decision that we have to make to leave one party and come to another. I'm going to take a quick break. When I come back, we're going to talk about that transition. Trombone in high school, sixth grade, started playing the trombone, and I loved it. Mr. Peace, Lamar Middle School, San Marcos, Texas, came out. He had his trombone, played the theme song for Woody Woodpecker. And he had a little swing. You know, all the other guys, they played good bits, but I mean, Mr. Peace, and he had some swing. Anyway, we were talking before the break about basically jumping out of the frying pan, jumping out of one ship and into another. That's the best way that I can describe it. We're talking about reaching people that typically don't identify as Republicans. We're talking about people who might have some of our principles in mind and some of our values in mind. and agree with us on probably 60%, 70% of the time, but they are what we might call a soft Democrat. And these are people that you always run into and say, you know, you're not a Democrat, you're a Republican. You just don't know it. And a few years ago, I was honored to be a part of an initiative that the Republican Party of Texas started and created a little sheet, a sheet that separated the differences between the Republican Party and the Democrat Party. And there was a video that I shot that was at the Heart of Texas Fair here in Waco, and there was a guy who was coming by, and he was a Hispanic guy, had on Dallas Cowboys jacket and beanie, and you know, and he's walking by, and I hit him up with this flyer, and I said, "Hey, take a look at this. Tell me what you think." He's sitting there, and he's looking at it, and he's reading the comparisons. You know, we talk about gun rights and how Republicans support that you have the right to own arms, and the Democrats want to take those away. And so we lined them all out from pro-life to you name it. And so he goes down the deal, and into that little minute, he says, "Well, I guess I'm a Republican." And when you show people directly the differences, it's pretty easy. Most people identify. They get drawn in by the compassion of the Democrat Party. They like the big-heartedness, the giving nature of the Democrat Party. They like that the Democrats want to help the hungry or feed the needy or clothe the naked, whatever the issue is. They like that component of the Democrat Party. So whenever they hear a Democrat doing something, they're automatically defensive because they've got this impression built up that the Democrat Party is for the little man and always fighting for you. This is the biggest lie. This is the biggest propaganda next to the propaganda that the Democrats freed the slaves. So you have blinders that are put on people, and they go for it. They don't ask questions. They don't question where the money's going to come from. It doesn't matter. It's not their money. And as long as they just continue to vote blindly, the Democrats will do what they want to do, what they think it takes to run an efficient government. Now, a few cities that are run by Democrats: Chicago, Illinois. We got Baltimore. You had New Orleans. I don't know if there's a Republican there now. I doubt it. Houston generally is operated by Democrats and liberals. So is San Antonio. They run these cities, and they run them into the ground because they have to make all these promises. They got to promise to part the skies and to make it rain. Everybody's expecting things, you know, that they go along and they promise more money for education. Why do you need more money for education? Maybe we shouldn't be accepting these thug kids that come to the schools and cause problems. Maybe we're making it too hard on teachers to teach. Maybe we need to be a little more strict on the parents. Maybe we need to have higher expectations on the parents. But we're talking about a lack of parenting. We're talking about a lack of leadership. Generation after generation of leaderless living. And that is what you have when you have Democrat control. Look at us all across the country. Look at us around the world. Our image, what we stand for, in most places, has diminished. in my opinion. I think we're losing the battle. The will to fight. Maybe not our soldiers, but definitely our commander-in-chief. He thinks that he can back out and wait his term out. And every day that goes by, every night that passes, we lose ground. And you know, we've lost so many lives over there. We've lost so much blood defending and fighting for what we thought might have been the opportunity to liberate people, to relieve them of the terror that was Saddam Hussein. Yeah, we were looking for weapons of mass destruction, and personally, I think they moved them out early, but, you know, we made the sacrifices, and we took cities, and we gave them up. We're giving them up, and the Democrats keep doing it, and the Black and Hispanic community silent. Hispanics, as a percentage of who we are, have high percentage of military service. There's a lot of people who were there, who went to Iraq, went to Afghanistan, lost brothers in arms. And right now, they've got to be wondering, why were we there if all we were going to do is give it up? You know, our vote matters. And the Democrats know that your vote matters, and that's why they're fighting so hard to keep you. They want to keep you kept. Blinders on. They don't want you asking questions. Hillary Clinton doesn't want you asking questions about Benghazi. She doesn't want to talk about her email servers. Please. We all know what happened to that server. And she did it right in front of us, and she doesn't care. And you know what? No one else is asking. Just everyone accepts it. Walking around with blinders on. We have Eric Holder, the Justice Department, federal government, throws itself in every local crisis, uses race as an issue. He's no different than Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, anyone else that goes along and just throws himself out there like that. Hustling. They're just hustling. They're making their money, not paying taxes, lying to the people. These are the guys who, if there was a slave camp, they would be the masters of the slave camp. These guys break down their brothers and sisters. They break them down. And they have a hierarchy. Because they all try to associate themselves with Dr. Martin Luther King. They all want to say that they were carrying his legacy. But, you know, these guys are so full of themselves. They walk around with this attitude, and Al Sharpton walks around with his little gait. He's got little strut. Tips his head back a little bit and just kind of glides into the room like he's at a player's ball or something. They're all tied in together. They use the media. They use artists. They use hip-hop music. They use wickedness. They use sex. They use drugs. They use everything. And they take people away and they wrap them wrap them in a cocoon and they put the blinders on. You know, I can speak about this. I know what it's like. I've seen the commissioners come around and talk to the business owners. I've seen how people work. I used to be scared to death of Republicans. I thought Republicans were some sort of weird power club or something. I didn't know I could be a Republican. When I was in the Air Force, man, I was out of high school. I was pumped up. I was excited to be doing something out of town. I learned a lot while I served. And, you know, I look at what it takes to break out from the mold, to advance yourself. And if there's anyone who questions whether or not it's possible to take a risk and do something and be successful, you know, you need to take more risks. I take risks still today. I take risks. They're a lot more calculated risks, but I mean, when I was younger, I was stupid politically. I didn't know anything about saving money. My grandfather told me all the time, you need to save your money, Duke. Save your money. He knew he lived through the Depression. He knew what it might be like. He was a businessman, and I learned a lot from him. I learned how to talk to people and to do business and to be honest and fair and have a good, solid handshake and, you know, the things that you learn from your grandparents. But he was a Democrat. Passionate. He was the guy who fell for the compassion of the party. And when Ronald Reagan beat Jimmy Carter, my grandfather stood up, walked over to the television, back when you didn't have a remote control, pushed in the button, turned it off, looked at me and said, "You might as well bend over and kiss your ass goodbye. This country's done with." He was a World War II veteran shot in France, Purple Heart. So I was pretty convinced that Republicans, and you hear people talk about, well, I was a Reagan conservative. I wasn't a Reagan conservative. I didn't even know who Ronald Reagan was. I wasn't a Reagan anything. Goldwater, I didn't know any of these guys. Nixon, I didn't know any of them. So when George H.W. Bush was running against Bill Clinton, I voted for Bill Clinton. He was cool. He could play a saxophone. I was oblivious to what his qualifications needed to be. And we have to remember that when people are young, they're conditioned. And the only way to change their minds is for them to have life experience. That's why as we get older, we become Republicans. But what we have to do is catch them before they develop a loyalty to the Democrat Party. Because once they do that, it's harder to leave. But there is a balance of catching someone who's still rational and finding someone who's already convinced and is irrational, cannot see the evidence laid before him or her. And they're just defensive. I used to be the same way. I remember a guy talking to me in my shop. I can't remember his name. He would say, he would get red in the face. Eyes would turn red. Frustration. And I'd just come back with some smart-ass little comment about, well, it's just like this. Or I would just rattle off some piece of something that I'd heard on the news or something generic. No depth to it. No understanding of what I was talking about, just purely problematic. I don't know what it was. I didn't, maybe I felt like I didn't need to justify. I just did what I felt I needed to do, and that is what I believe a majority of Hispanic young voters do. They do not know who they're voting for and why they're voting for that person. How do you tell someone that they're wrong? You can't. We have to lead by example. We have to, as a party, and I know that our current chairman and the leadership of the party has a deep, deep interest and a strong desire to reach those people. And I'm excited about what's coming up here in Texas. You know, the Democrats thought they could come in here and just lay waste to this state. Maybe they've got a long-term plan. Maybe they're running out of money. I don't know. But Battleground Texas, I guess they're still around. I haven't heard a whole lot about them. But we're building, too. We're building in areas. We're building in areas along the border. We're gaining strength in places that their party's never been in the state. And I think that when our party captures these people, and we will, because it, you know what, these people are still rational. They still understand the basic principle, the basic difference of right and wrong, good versus evil. Form will resonate. I'm looking forward to the convention. I'm looking forward to working and building with the party a roster of Hispanic delegates to the convention. I'd like for there to be a historic amount of Hispanic participation. I'd love for there to be a historic amount of minority participation in general. It would only make us a stronger party. But I do want us to have similar values. Our chairman said we should focus on the 95% of the things that we agree on and not the 5% things we disagree on. And I think if you look at everyone, there, we all have a 5% of things that we certainly disagree on. Probably it's more like, let's work on the 80% of things and then not talk about the 20% of things we disagree on. But still, we have to strengthen the party. The party has an awesome state Republican executive committee system. We have representation. We have the ability. We just need the desire. We need the people to rise up, to take the blinders off, to get involved locally, to call your local party, to take the steps. No one's going to place it in your hands. No one's going to give anything to you. You have to go and get it. You have to make it happen. You have to make the decision to take the blinders off. And when you do, and you decide to test the waters in the Republican Party, I can assure you that you will be welcomed with open arms. I promise that. Well, those are my thoughts. Those are my thoughts. I'm not going to get into the whole slavery thing so much, but, you know, I do know that there's a lot at stake. I know that we've got a presidential election that's going to be crazy. We've got, you know, 10 candidates. We'll have 15 or 18, they're predicting, when it's over with. But we're going to have a good candidate in the end, and we all need to back that candidate. It's going to be a Republican, so, you know, let's start laying the foundation. I'm going to be setting up over at the Wayne Dupree Show website and also on his War Radio Network. That's We Are American Radio. So on live360.com, you can just type in We Are American Radio or War, W-A-A-R, and find me there. My Twitter handle, actually have one of those, Duke Machado and the number one, Duke Machado 1. I did that because I messed up another account, couldn't delete it, and so anyway, this here it is, Duke Machado 1, at Duke Machado 1. It has been a pleasure putting this program together and venting, basically, more than anything, and testing out this equipment. I'm looking forward to the future, looking forward to working with the new chairman, leadership in the Republican Party of Texas, and we will see you soon.